grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. So I'm not doing a children's sermon today because we've got two kids. And so there's a pastor that had a rural congregation. And in a storm, he gets to the congregation to have Sunday service. And there's only one person there. And the pastor says, so what do you think we should do? And should we do a service or not with just one person? And the farmer said, well, you know, if I have if I have my herd of cattle come into the barn and only one cow is there, I'm going to feed it. And so the pastor turned around and started the service. And he did the whole service. He preached the sermon and he had communion, and service took an hour and 15 minutes. And then he was finished. And so he said to the farmer, so what'd you think? And he said, well, that was fine. But, you know, if only one cow came, I wouldn't feed him the whole trough. So although Penny and Madeline are deserving of a children's sermon, they're going to get the real thing. Let's listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Acts. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. and he and his entire household rejoiced that they had become a believer in God. Word of God, word of life. Let's pray Psalm 97 responsively. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad.
Clouds and darkness surround the Lord. Righteousness and justice are foundations of God's throne.
Fire goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side.
Lightning light up the world.
The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of the earth.
The heavens
bear your righteousness, O Lord,
and all the peoples see your glory.
Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods.
Zion
hears and is glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you are the Lord most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
You love the Lord, hate evil.
God guards the lives of the saints and rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, righteous,
and give thanks to God's holy name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Revelation. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And I let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believed in me through your word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that I have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise.
Help us, Lord, to be the masters of ourselves so we might become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak to them, our minds and think to them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Unity in diversity. So, first of all, thank you for wonderful hospitality. I'm going to trip over myself here. Wonderful hospitality. Thank you all for inviting us into your home and being so gracious to us and giving us a place to rest our head. Wow, we built a house in 7 hours yesterday. It was very fun and giving a family a whole new look on life. I am severely dyslexic, and so that's why I babble when I read. And I don't read from a manuscript and because of that. So here we go. Unity within diversity. I don't think that's just a slogan. I think that's the very stuff about how the world was made, how we are made. Unity in diversity. The question is, do we believe that? That's what Jesus was saying, that we all may be one. Do we believe that? Can we ever achieve it? Well, I think we can, but I think we focus on the wrong idea. Rather than unity in diversity, when we think of unity, I think most people think of unity in conformity. And that's not what unity is about. So I'm going to suggest to you that we are wired for diversity. That's the way God created creation. Let's see what you think. Diversity is our bread and butter. Now, when I look at all the world religions, and there's a lot of them out there, both alive and dead now, I'll just pick on Christianity, since we all know that, huh? The Christian world, now I'm talking all denominations, the religion of Christianity, not necessarily a denomination. Christianity alone has split many times. Want to guess how many times? Lots and lots and lots. We talk about the Great Schism of 1054 when the Eastern Church and the Western Church split from each other. And they talk about that as the Great Schism. But there was hundreds of schisms before that, hundreds of breaks before that. And in 72, scholars came up with a number. Guess what the number was? Almost 19,000 times the Christian religion has split since Jesus gathered some people together and the way was founded, as it's called in Acts of the Apostles. The church was founded as followers of Jesus. 19,000 times in 72. Well, then the dawning of the internet, and guess what happened? That number rose. It rose pretty significantly. It rose in 2005 to just over 34,000 times. And the last time they crunched these numbers was about 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, that number had split into 45,000 times, right? Now, we think if unity in conformity is the object, boy, are we in trouble, huh? We are never going to get there. But if unity in diversity is how it's wired, oh, well, we're just following track. This is okay. We're right in the sweet spot here. It keeps just going, and we're getting more diversity and more wonderfulness every day. Well, that's Jesus' prayer, is that we all will be one. We'll all be one in unity with God, as Jesus was. And he uses the Trinity. That's in 2 weeks. Want to hear my one-line Trinity metaphor? The Trinity is three-in-one oil. Remember three-in-one oil? Red, black, and white can? Oil has three properties, right? Three-in-one oil. It's all oil, but it has three properties. There you go. Okay. So he is talking about this really complex thing called the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, and saying, but we're one. Well, Jesus is saying all of creation is one in that complexity that we call diversity. Okay, I can see you're not following me. You're not buying this yet. Let me go with the scientists now, right? The scientists, the genome scientists, those really smart peoples that track down that double helix, right? What did they conclude about every human being on the planet? We are 99.9% identical. Every race, every flavor, you name it, we are 99.9% identical. And in that tenth of a percent, the diversity of just us in this room, let alone the entire world. That's how God wired us. Unity in diversity. All of that wonderfulness. And in that wonderfulness, we see the kingdom of God at hand. But we like conformity. We like, because we group up. Human beings group up. We group up with our friends and with our church communities and with our denominations within separate religions, right? We group up because it makes us comfortable. And that's a good thing. It's good to feel comfortable. But it's only good when we're not trying to achieve conformity, but we're trying to achieve comfortableness within this huge, complex diversity that is our creation. So, that's unity and diversity. And I was looking at all these readings, I'm going, how does Paul and Silas fit into this unity and diversity picture? And I think it does. Let me suggest to you how I thought it did. In the ancient world, somebody who spouted off like that, like the young girl that's described in Acts today, mania, it's called madness. And it's closely related to Eusebia, which means piety. And those people had a knack, and that's why Luke says she had divine, what is the word, divine inspiration? Divination, that's it. Thank you. God, you should be preaching, not me. divination. It's supernatural knowledge gained from the deranged. That would be me as a preacher, huh? Okay. So, but then Luke adds this, Paul was annoyed at her. And you really got to dig down and go, well, what was he annoyed at? Why? Because she was just babbling at him and was annoyed? She wasn't annoyed at the girl. Guess who she was annoyed at? The hucksters. Because what were they doing? They were using her to make money, to bank. They were abusing her. She was a slave to these guys. And what does the gospel say? The slave's supposed to be set free, yes? And so what does Paul do? He exercises and sets her free and stops the divination. And the moment he does that, what happens to the bankroll? It's gone, and they are not pleased with old Paul and Silas. So off to jail they go. That's what the annoying was. Paul was annoyed that people were abusing this young girl and taking advantage of her. And he, because Paul is really related to the... Paul, who he wrote lots of the New Testament, and there are other people who wrote in Paul's name. That's why Paul gets a bad name sometimes. But the Paul who really wrote really was wired to Jesus' ministry, which was about setting people free. And that's what he did to this young girl, and they weren't happy. And what happened in jail? Jail breaks open, and the jailer goes, uh-oh, I'm toast. Because everybody is gone. But what's the miracle in the story? Nobody left. That's the miracle. And so the jailer says, oh, I need a part of this miracle. Where you're getting food, I don't need to go there. And his whole household was baptized at that day. And that's what they did in those days. That's diversity, hospitality, and justice linked together like peanut butter and jelly. It just goes together. And that's what the gospel wants to communicate to us today. The kingdom of God is at hand when we see that picture together, when we see the diversity and not scream for conformity, but acknowledge and the wonder and delight of God's creation within that diversity. So that's my invitation on this seventh Sunday of Easter. In my home parish, We make this, we move last Thursday, which is Ascension Day, to today. So we have Ascension Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, and Trinity Sunday. Boom, boom, boom. Because Ascension is really an important thing. You know why Ascension is so important? Because it moves from Jesus ministering to the disciples to the disciples ministering to the world, i.e. ministering to Jesus. That's what Ascension means, is that shift in ministry. So that's why we do this on Sunday. But on this seventh Sunday of Easter, I invite us to open our eyes and look for diversity in this world this week. See what's out there before you put on your red next week, the Pentecost. We do that too. Before you put on your Pentecost red, look for diversity. And how do we do that? Here's my invitation. I invite us to set aside our allegiances. Set aside our preconceived notions about how it's supposed to be and how it is, and say, okay, God, let me have it. What do you got in store? Let's have it. See what God will bring before us this week, and see how the kingdom of God may come at hand. Now, if we do that and we let go of conformity, we might hear the voices that we deem manic, the mania, the madness in the world. But is it madness, or is it the Holy Spirit calling to us and saying, I'm calling you forth. See all of this wonderful creation. See what God has done for us. Enjoy. Look for the unity of who we are. Because in looking for that, we may behold the miracle, just like the jailer. This last week of Easter is a reminder that the Trinity is massively diverse and complex, and one at the same time. So did God ordain us unity in diversity. Amen.